Hello and welcome to a Thursday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and in today's podcast, I'll be going over the box scores from the 10 games on Wednesday night. To help me do that, I'm joined by Mike Catron, who you can find on Twitter at WatchTheBoxes or at WatchTheBoxes.com. Mike, thanks for joining the show tonight.
Thanks, Mark. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you.
Yeah, I'm... So last time we talked about doing this nice and drunk, and I am drunker than last time. But last time I was sober, and this time I've only had one beer.
Did we talk about that? I feel like that's something you made up on your own to justify.
I also might have a problem. So,
are you addicted to fantasy basketball or alcohol?
Who's in fantasy basketball? They go hand in hand. That's how bad trades are made.
Yeah. Maybe I can tuck into a good no halftime challenge tonight by the end of the
by the end of the episode, maybe.
We'll see. All right, Mike, we've got a lot of games to get into tonight from Wednesday night. There were 10 games, a lot of fun action. Before we get into it, though, we're not going to be able to get into the Chicago Phoenix box score because they won't have wrapped up by the time our show is done.
It hasn't started, yeah.
And as the resident podcast Bulls fan, I need you to help me emotionally deal with what's going on with Nikola Mirotic.
It's an honor to be the resident Bulls fan. Nico.
I came out strong with him. I came out hot in the preseason, pumping up Nikola Mirotic. He was awesome to start the season, and he has just not done well
since. Yeah, I love Nico. I loved him 2 years before he was on the Bulls. I might have been watching YouTube clips of him in Europe doing whatever he was doing there. There was a lot of Dirk 2.0 talk amongst my inner circle of Bulls fans. Most of it as a sarcastic joke, most of it not as a sarcastic joke, as a real, you know, Nico is the next hope. Mm-hmm. It was dark times when Derrick Rose was out. But a lot of people going into the season with that Bulls front court were saying, well, we don't know what the rotation is. We don't know who's going to play. We don't know who's going to have value. And kind of unlike the Boston situation, I don't know if there's an official name for the Boston situation, where everybody's getting like 20 minutes and no one's of value at all. It seems like Coach Hoiberg is trying something different where he's actually playing a set rotation. It's just that set rotation will differ from week to week. So Nico,
that's always a strong move for your player's confidence.
Yeah, exactly. though it's better than Tibbs, who after Nico dropping, 20 and 10 for 2 weeks, sat on the bench for 2 months and didn't play. So it's at least a step in the right direction.
I'm bringing up his stats right now.
Yeah, I'll go look at him. He
averaged 7 points in 20 minutes over the last five games. He shot 29% from the field, 20% from the point line, and has no blocks and 0.8 steals.
I think you saw him be streaky last season at times. And this is a bad slump, but, 3 games ago, he had 20. He was 20 and 10 with 2 steals. And then, 3 more crappy games after that. Nico has the talent to be good in somewhere between 25 and 28 minutes. He has standard fantasy value. That's saying a lot. There's not a lot of guys who are good at that range. And with the potentials of injuries in the Bulls front court, and the need to rest legs in the Bulls front court, I still think he has value going forward. He's just not going to be a top 20 player all year. He's probably going to be more where people had him before the season when they weren't sure about the rotation. Everybody kind of jumped the gun, and I'll be honest, I jumped the gun too. He was starting. He was playing over 30, around 30 minutes. And he might play 22, 25 minutes, but that means he goes from like a top 30 player to a top 60, 70 player.
And here's my biggest concern with Mirotic right now, and it's not his skill level, which I think is pretty, like you said, pretty exceptional given, that he can do so much in limited playing time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure Fred Hoiberg is a legitimate NBA coach.
That's fair. Come on, it's a little early. I don't know if he can be considered.
I'm just saying right now, like what he's doing, I have no idea what he's doing when I watch the games and I watch the rotations. I have no confidence that he knows what he's doing right now.
I don't know what he's doing either. Can you be an NBA coach if you've only coached 10 games? Like a legitimate NBA coach?
I think, you know, it's not fair to compare everyone to Brad Stevens, but I think Brad Stevens knew what he was doing when he came in.
Yeah, I think
Quinn Snyder knew what he was doing when he came in.
Yeah, that's probably true as well.
You know, so fair point, but that's what concerns me the most about Mirotić.
Hoiberg's above the Vinny Del Negro line. Okay. And that's all I'll take. I'll take it.
Doesn't matter how many beers you have in you, you're still above the Vinny Del Negro line, I think.
Ugh, he was horrible.
Are you going to also tell me that he's better than Brian Shaw?
I don't know, maybe. Eventually.
Brian Shaw is horrible. Here's what I'm telling people with Mirotić. I know that he's doing bad right now, and if you want to drop him,
yeah,
go ahead. What I think, though, is there's nobody on your waiver wire that has the upside that Mirotić has.
So that's very important.
If you can somehow, like, nobody else on the waiver wire can be a top 25 player. And I'm not saying Mirotić definitely will be, but there is a scenario where that happens still. And so if you can at all stash a player or hold on to a player and try to realize that upside, I think he's your best bet. He's your best bet to be like the guy that who could be on the waiver wire right now, who could end up as a second round value by the end of the season. There's just not anybody else that can do that. So I'm not dropping him for that reason, but I'm not happy with what's happening right now.
Yeah. I talked about that in my waiver wire column that just came out a few hours ago. Nice shameless plug. Plug.
Where do we find that?
You can find that at watchtheboxes.com. A lot of people came to it after the last show, so it was pretty cool to see. I hope people like it, and feel free to tweet me feedback, even with four-letter words in it. But I was kind of mentioning that if you don't have a spot on your roster that's good for taking flyers, then you're kind of limiting yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, if you have a team full of top 50 guys, who cares? But if you don't have room to say, you know what, that guy's got potential, or Nico's having a bad 2 weeks, but the guy's a top 50 player if he plays well. If you don't have that area on your team for, you know, making the wrong choice or making the right choice, you'll never make the right choice.
So I totally agree. This is my theory about why to go for stars and scrubs in auction leagues.
Yeah, I like doing that method as well. In fact, in my last auction, it was almost primarily, you know, four top 20 guys, and then just filling it out with. I got Porzingis for a dollar. Because I love Porzingis, and then got really, really antsy and dropped him immediately.
Oh,
like game one. And now I'm depressed.
He had a good game one. What are you thinking?
I don't know. There was other guys having good games that day. Rookies. I don't have any faith in them.
There's nothing that told me that's more disappointing than that.
It's horrible. And I love Porzingis. Ladies love Porzingis as well.
Everybody loves Porzingis. I was chanting Porzingis' name in my house yesterday along with the Madison Square Garden crowd. It was awesome.
I don't know if he just – I was like, man, that's aggressive for Madison Square Garden, but they haven't had anything. Anything at all. And
they've gone from like cautious fans to like they're all in on the Porzingis.
Yep. They're like, oh, that guy – well, you can't teach 7-3. That guy is enormous. And he shoots threes. It's crazy.
I love that guy. All right, let's get into the games from tonight. Let's start off with Philadelphia and Indiana, which was not much of a game. Indiana ended up winning the game 112-85. Sorry, did you have something you wanted to add there?
No, I was going to say, is it considered a game if only one team is playing?
If only one team has NBA players?
That's also true.
Our buddy Paul George treated it like a game. He had 34 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, and 5 three-pointers. He shot 13 of 24 from the field. He definitely treated it like a game.
So, yeah, he's good. He's right?
Is that your expert opinion?
My expert opinion is he's good. I think what people didn't realize was, like, there's nobody else that's really even borderline. Like, I guess Monta Ellis is good, but other than Monta, there's no one really else on this team to take his possessions away. And so I don't think a lot of people calculated in, like, oh, Paul George is going to be responsible for, like, the entire game. More so, like, maybe people thought he was going to ease into that role. But there's no, you know, there's nobody taking his the ball out of his hands. Even Monta, who's like a capable scorer. So,
yeah. The other crazy stat from this game, plus minus is always a little bit wonky. Jan Mahimi was a plus 43 for this game in 28 minutes. Not that anybody plays with that in fantasy, but I couldn't help but be stunned by that when I saw.
He gets sneaky stats like blocks and steals and decent rebounds, but man, he doesn't do anything else.
Yeah, I mean, you can't roster him, but plus, if you play in a plus minus league, this might be one of your guys.
If you play in a plus minus league, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of work. And you got to be really depressed. It's like, oh, I have Kevin Durant, but he was minus 20. It was a blowout.
I got Jan Mahimi plus 43 tonight.
Ugh.
All right. On the Sixers side, there's not a whole lot good to talk about. TJ McConnell continues to produce. He only played 20 minutes, but he still put up 16 points on 7 of 9 shooting, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. For those of you keeping track at home, he still did not take a free throw.
So yeah, what?
0 for still 0 on the season.
Amazing.
Honestly, I don't see a whole lot else to talk about in this game. Is there anything you want to talk about here? You kind of wanted to talk about the guards in between these two teams.
Yeah, nothing really stands out except for, well, yeah, I want to talk about the guards because all of them are on that fringe, like almost standard league value or standard league value area.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I was wondering which, if we had to rank these guards rest of the year, you know, who would you rely on? Who would you go with most? I think right, you know, the second McConnell is good, but that won't last very long.
He's the best guy right now. I don't know. Like, he's playing well enough. Why would the 76ers mess with that?
Because they're the 76ers.
It's not like Kendall Marshall is a world beater. He's been cut 2 times in his career.
Yeah.
Like, I know that the plan was bring in Kendall Marshall and he'll probably start when he's healthy, but it's not like he's so good that they can't change course, you know, if TJ McConnell is doing effectively what they would like.
Well, there's also Tony Wharton sitting around, and he was doing the exact same thing Michael Carter Williams was doing when he was there.
Yeah, and they didn't want him either.
No, I don't. This is why I don't trust any of them in the long term. Just play who's ever playing and drop who's ever not playing.
I mean, between these two teams, I probably want Monta Ellis the most.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty, even though he's been up and down, I talked about, you know, don't worry about Monta Ellis. Monta Ellis is a gamer. He will be good. He's on a new team. He's in a new system.
Where's George Hill in my rankings? I'm going to have my rankings up here.
That's who I would take second.
I think
I would say George Hill.
Monta Ellis.
Yeah, I know he's injured.
I'd probably take Hill over Ellis. I know he struggled a little bit this season, and I know, but I think Ellis has as well.
I would take Ellis over Hill. I'd take Monta. Monta can just do crazy things, and maybe this system isn't right for him, but he figures out how to play in the system, which always takes time. I think he's a better fantasy player. He's sneaky with assists. He's really good in steals still.
Yeah, that's a toss-up. I don't know that I feel strongly enough to say George Hill or Monta Ellis. They both struggled this season. I feel like Vogel maybe trusts George Hill, and I don't know that he definitely trusts Monta Ellis, so I probably would lean George Hill, but, you know, that's fine. I think those are probably your best two guys. McConnell's doing really well right now. I don't believe in Nick Stauskas. I don't want him.
No.
With him anymore. I don't think you want to own anybody else.
Would you, when Wharton comes, let's say Wharton comes back or and he wins the starting position, are you taking him over Hill or Ellis?
No. I might pick him up to see what happens.
He's going to shoot horribly.
Yeah. Well, 100%. Yeah, but to see if he can kind of hit those same levels he hit pre-injury, but I wouldn't drop Monte Ellis for him, and I wouldn't drop George Hill for him. I would probably drop CJ McConnell for him because that would mean McConnell is no longer valuable.
Yeah, that's just – yeah, that'd be the logical move there.
Yeah, but, trust me, like in a week or two, if Roten isn't doing what he's supposed to be doing, I'm dropping him again. Like I don't think there are big things coming for Tony Roten.
He's a good flyer spot, like we were talking about. Yeah. Taking a flyer, take a flyer. Why not?
Yep, exactly. All right, let's move on to our next game here. Dallas and Boston. This was a close game. Dallas pulled it out towards the end. The Celtics were basically ahead this whole game, and Dallas beat them in the fourth quarter by 12 points to come out 106-102. Dirk had another solid game. That whole business about Dirk only getting 26 minutes cap, that was nonsense. That was a coach lying to us straight to our faces. He played 34 minutes tonight. He had 23 points on 9 of 14 shooting, 7 rebounds, a steal, and a three-pointer. What do you think about Dirk so far this season?
I'm really surprised by Dirk. I wonder what he did in the offseason. He must have just got super. He
definitely went to Germany, but
got the Germany sort of the Germany platelets put in his knees.
Look at that gorgeous head of hair.
He's wonderful. He beat the first LeBron team, and he'll never have to answer anyone after that.
He is shooting above 50% from the field and the three-point line and above 90% from the free throw line. Wow. That's impressive.
Does this last? I mean, I don't think those percentages last, but
what does that mean? So I agree. Those are a little bit high, but what's Dirk going to actually shoot? 48% from the field and 40% from the three-point line and 88% from the free throw line. Like, I don't think he's too far off.
Sure. But does he continue to put up on the season? He's averaging 28 minutes, 18, 7, which is above his normal rebounding rate.
The last question I have is does he continue to play the minutes that he's played?
And yeah.
I don't have any reason to believe he won't. I think he's certainly like a risk to break down, but
he's not going to play 82 games, but he shouldn't.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to. Like, I don't think the performance is something he's not capable of doing. I guess I worry about durability.
Is he a top 30 player at the end of the year on averages?
Well, I've got him right now at 51. So okay. I don't think so. But I would say he's a top 75 player.
Because on the season right now, he's 19th on averages.
I don't know. I think 50 is about probably where he ends up.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
If you had Meritich and somebody offered Dirk, would you take it? I probably would, but I wouldn't be happy about it.
I wouldn't be happy either way. Whoever you got in that trade, you'd be like, I'm having the same problems. I'm worried about him playing. I don't know how good he is. I think Dirk can be better.
Meritich, you mean?
No, I think Dirk can be better than Meritich.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
Night in, night out. Yeah, Nico can have better nights, for sure. It's just, if Dallas isn't going to make the playoffs, which there's a decent possibility, or pretty good possibility, are they really going to run Dirk down the stretch?
That's a fair question. We have no idea. I mean, I think NBA players like to play basketball generally, but unless they're sort of going to try to get under that threshold of where they give up their draft pick, then I could see it. But I don't think they're going to hold Dirk out if he says, I want to play.
Would you sell high on Dirk right now then?
Sure, if I could. But I don't know what that means. Like,
ye
I don't think anybody's going to give you anything of too much value for him. Like, if I could get Nick Batum for him, or I could get Tim Duncan for him.
You're not going to get Brooke Lopez for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't think somebody's going to give me full value for him. But if I could, I probably would do it. Yeah, I'm not seeing anybody that I have ranked higher on my list that I think you could easily get in a trade for him.
You're probably right if you're playing with smart people.
Can you get Pau Gasol for him right now? I'd probably do that. If you could get Chris Middleton, might be a guy you could target for him. I probably would do that.
Yeah, Middleton is playing a little worse. You got DeMar DeRozan pretty higher than most people.
Yeah, look at that.
I like him. He's my he's a secret favorite player of mine because I play a lot of roto leagues, like I've said, and I prefer them. And he's so good at free throws, a stat that no one thinks of.
Right.
And
when scoring you... for the place where he – you know what I mean? Like for where he goes in drafts and where he is in rankings, he gives you pretty elite scoring. Most of the guys who are good at scoring go a lot earlier in drafts.
That's very true. Yeah. And he's playing – he's on a contract here, so he's playing much, much better than usual. He's getting those assists here and there and some extra rebounds and more than he usually does. I like him.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about Minnesota Orlando, which was a fun game. Went into overtime. Oh, our next overlord, Carl Anthony Towns, had quite a game. 21 points, 8 of 12 shooting. He had 12 rebounds and 6 blocks.
Yeah,
that should trade Anthony Davis for him.
Yes, 100%. Do it. Everyone. So a lot of people came out. Carl Anthony Towns came out really well in those first weeks, and obviously he's still playing well. And people were like, should I sell high on Carl Anthony Towns? Like, no, this kid is 20 years old, a rookie, and he's already playing this well. What? Don't write it out. Don't sell high on Carl Anthony Towns. This is who he is. And he's just getting used to playing in the NBA.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun ride. Wiggins, who you wanted to talk about, also had a solid game. He had 38 minutes. He had 28 points on 12 of 17 shooting. He went to the free throw line 14 times, which was impressive. Made 12 of those. Had five rebounds and 2 blocks, and an assist. What do you find intriguing about Wiggins that you'd like to discuss?
Well, I like Wiggins a lot as a player. I went and saw him last year when he came to Chicago, and he just kind of did whatever he wanted against us, and it was really disheartening because he was a rookie. And I was like, man, the kid's going to be good. And then he had a really slow start this year and has obviously been picking it up. But for fantasy, he is only ranked 89th in totals last year. On average, he was ranked 129th. 129th is right there at the end of most standard league 10-team drafts-ish, depending on your settings. And that's not great. He played, I think, the most minutes or the second most minutes out of any player last year, which is where a lot of his totals – his value came from, and he was still only 89th. So in fantasy wise, do you think his name is bigger than his actual value?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I've talked about this a lot, and Kyle always tried to make a case that he should be ranked a little higher because his scoring for where he is usually in the ranking is pretty hard to find. But he just doesn't do a lot else. Like, he's one of those guys that's just better in real life than he is in fantasy. He only really contributes well in one category, and that's points. He's not going to be a lot of assists. His steals aren't as high as you would think for a player that's as defensively capable as him. He does kind of sneakily give you some production in blocks for a guard. He's not a proficient three-point shooter, which I think holds him back. Like, I always say that to be a really dynamic fantasy player, you need to have a minimum of three good categories. And he has one. Like, the percentages aren't great. The steals aren't great. the blocks are kind of frisky, but it's not like it's a game changer. It's just the points, and he's not even a 20-point scorer yet. So I like him. I like the talent. Like, I have nothing bad to say about him as a player. He just doesn't translate well to the fantasy realm. Certainly not as good as like Karl Anthony Towns does.
Yeah.
You can already say is like, you know, you've got rebounds, you've got blocks are great. And he's going to start adding probably other categories.
Towns is already really, really good. They're already talking about his range and how eventually if you're in a dynasty league, never get rid of this guy. They're talking already about like, oh, maybe in a year or two, bringing in his 3-point range, which is just silly if he starts shooting threes. Like Boogie does, which is also insane. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, even with Wiggins jumping into that 20-point range, which is great. People need points. If you're playing in a roto 9 cat, you're not punting in head-to-head, then his percentages hurt you, and he doesn't give you threes. If he can get to that, if he can get that 3-point range, Then I'm interested because there's, you know, another category that he's decent in, but then that opens up his game. That allows him to get to the basket more. Maybe he learns a drive and kick aspect.
It's the assist that I feel like are holding him back a little bit. On the Orlando side, probably the biggest thing worth mentioning is Victor Oladipo did play. He came back from his concussion. He didn't play well. He only played 20 minutes. I would guess that has a lot to do with the, you know, just the recovery. Nothing to worry about, but he only had 1 point. He was 0 of 6 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Nothing to worry about long terms, though, right, Mike?
No, I don't think so. It's just an injury. People come back from injuries all the time and have really bad games. Elfrid Payton had a really good game.
He did.
He's on my squad, and I always enjoy getting 4 steals from one player. He's streaky. He's not going to shoot the ball well, obviously, but when he's on a good streak, I think a lot of people are kind of – you got to deal with his downtime, but I like Elfrid Payton in the long term. He's young enough to get better, and he can get really, really hot and, you know, almost put up triple doubles occasionally. I don't know how much of the tonight was about Oladipo being out.
Yeah, I think that definitely helped him.
Always helps. But Payton finally had he's had a good game before, but he's had 2 good games this year. Really good games.
All right. Next, moving on, Nets and Hornets. Nets managed to let another game slip away.
What a surprise.
I barely even want to talk about the Nets. I don't see anything particularly interesting I want to talk about. Thaddeus Young, I think, continues to be underrated and undervalued. I talked about that in the preseason, so I think my feelings there are well documented. But, you know, 27 points again tonight. I think last game he had 5 steals. He just finds a way to give you value.
He gets quality steals from that position on your roster, and he had a slow start. But he's going to play, and he's going to get you steals. His free throws are bad, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. On the Hornets side, I guess maybe the thing that is most interesting to me here is Al Jefferson ended up playing 30 minutes.
Finally.
Yeah. He had 18 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks, and shot 7 of 16 from the field, so... if you've been holding on to Al Jefferson, hoping for better things, it's starting to have an upward arrow on it.
Yeah, we talked about him last time, him and Gortat being in these new kind of 3-point shooting, high-paced systems. And we talked about how Al Jefferson, definitely the more upside out of the two, and that, you know, hang on to him or, you know, even maybe even buy low with that guy. I just don't think Al Jefferson's too talented for him not to figure out a way to be effective. And a lot of their offense relies on the ability to get him going, even though Nick Batum has been on a tear.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us about what Nick Batum did?
Well, this is like a down game after his last 3 games. I think he was dropping 30 a night there for a while, but I was a year early on the Nick Batum. He got injured. Got Nick Batum for a really good price, and with all those injuries, he just kind of fell off. So anyone who got him later in the draft this year is going to reap the reward. He's one of the best kind of I-do-everything nine-cat players with three, and he's shooting threes, and I think that number one is the number one sign that he's back and he's ready to be what he can. So they're not only they're running the offense through him, but that wrist is good enough for him to make three threes in a game. He's shooting a good percentage. He can get you blocks and steals and assists and rebounds. He's all over the board.
He's a good buy low guy. Like, do you think people realize how good he is? We probably passed the point where you can buy low on him, I would guess.
Yeah, but it might be one of those secondary people think he's think they're swindling someone. They're like, oh, Nick Batum is playing really well, I'm going to move him. Well, I think Nick Batum's going to play pretty well, not, you know, maybe not this well over the every single night, but on averages, people might be thinking they're selling high when they're really selling on average. So that's kind of a deal as well. So yeah, if you're, I like Batum a lot. If you're looking for that kind of across the board production, which most people should be looking for, one of my least favorite things is when people are punting a category and they go, well, that guy gets that category, he's useless to me. The guy gets the other 7, 6, 8 categories you're not punting, those help too.
Would you give up Vic Oladipo for him?
Ooh.
Is that too high?
That might be right around the range. They kind of do the same things, right?
Mm-hmm. All right, let me go a little lower. Would you give up DeRozan?
Actually, maybe. I would definitely give up I'd give up Middleton. I would rather have Batum than Middleton. Oladipo might be average. I think if you traded those two guys, pretty similar value. Just depends on who you think is going to break out.
Mm-hmm.
And Batum's proved that he can break out, and Oladipo's, we're waiting for him to fully break out. So if that's your gauge, go with Batum.
Yeah. Mike, I'll tell you one other place that you could pit Victor Oladipo against Nicholas Batum. That's at No Halftime. So if you download the No Halftime app from the iTunes App Store, you can pit Nicholas Batum and go against one of your friends, or go online in like in a public league, and you can even, you know, as we're talking, maybe Victor Oladipo, you don't have to go that high. You could pit Batum and you could pick somebody lower. You could pit him against Goran Dragic, who's been struggling, right?
That'd be an easy win.
Yeah. You could trick me. You could trick somebody like Daniel Green tricked me yesterday and get me to take Ty Lawson in a No Halftime challenge.
Ooh, that was, you got tricked.
Yeah, I definitely got tricked. He had 2 points tonight. So
we're going to talk about him.
The cool thing about No Halftime is, like, sometimes you just can't take advantage of these guys that we're talking about. Like, there's no way you can't trade for him. Like, the guy who has Nicholas Batum either hasn't logged in for a little while or whatever, you know, has a Nick Batum jersey, and so he doesn't want to trade him. But in this way, you can still challenge your friends or random people online and make some money because you know that Nick Batum is awesome, or somebody else like Nick Batum is awesome. All you have to do is go online, create a challenge. It's super easy. And the cool thing is, it's not just limited to NBA. You can do basketball, but you can even do college basketball, college football, NFL, NHL, even some other sports around there. So go check that out. And the coolest part is the cherry on the sundae here is, just for listening to our little podcast, you get a $25 bonus when you sign up if you use the code BBALL. That's B-ball. So go check out the No Halftime app. You can do a lot of fun challenges. I think it's a lot of fun when you're playing with your friends. Like, that's been I've tried to do some like just public challenges, but I've also had a great time just like challenging dudes I know or people I know. And, try to prove that I'm smarter than them at basketball, which, like I said, it didn't work out very well for me tonight.
Who doesn't want to take money from their friends?
Exactly.
It's everyone's favorite pastime.
All right, let's give on. Let's go on to the New Orleans OKC game. OKC pulled this game out 110-103. New Orleans was dealing with a lot of injuries. They only had 9 guys play, and one of them was Jimmer Fredette. So, you know, things kind of got ugly. Ryan Anderson had a huge game. In 44 minutes, he scored 30 points, had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and made 4 3-pointers. He shot 25 times, which is an impressive number. Russell Westbrook was jealous of all the shots he was taking.
They were going at it. That would have been a good heads up tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, so Daniel had Ish Smith, who scored 18 points, had 6 assists, 3 rebounds. He was 8 of 20 from the field. So definitely a thorough beating there for me.
Yeah, if you can sneak in that Ish Smith, that's what I've been recommending. And if you're in bigger leagues or streaming, play the game. Ish Smith is going to play starters minutes when Jrue Holiday is out. Play the game.
Yeah, he's a great stream option. There's no question.
Even put him at the end of your bench and play him even when he's not starting, because he's the first guy off the bench. And still puts up good assists.
The craziest thing about this Russell Westbrook Ryan line is that it's not even surprising to me. He had 43 points in 36 minutes. He was 14 of 20 from 5 from the field. He was 15 of 20 from the line. He had 9 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal, and a block. And like when I look at it, I just go, yeah, that's what I would expect Russell Westbrook to do without Kevin Durant.
But yeah,
that's absurd if anybody else did that.
It's absolutely crazy that we live in a world where you see that line and don't go, we need to write a story about this. I want to paint a picture of Russell Westbrook doing this. No, that's what he does. It's no big deal.
It's absurd.
It's amazing.
All right, let's do some quick hitters here. Let's go through quickly.
Sure.
The Kings and Hawks. Anything stand out to you on that game?
My favorite stat to follow right now is 3-pointers attempt by DeMarcus Cousins.
Okay, tell us how he did tonight.
1 for 5, which that's fine. He's that's a center.
Yeah. Well, not very many leagues count percentages, so 1-3 from your center is great.
Yeah, it's wild. Him and Horford have been shooting threes this year for some reason, but Boogie has only made like 8 or 9 or 12 threes in the last 2 years. I forgot. I used to know the stat. That's all he's made, and now he's shooting 3 to 4 a game. It's crazy to think. I think it's unprecedented that someone's like Boogie has just suddenly added a 3-point game and is shooting decent from behind the arc.
Yeah, I'm just pulling that up now. So he's averaging 4 a game this season. His career average per game is 0.3. And he's shooting 45% so far this season.
Remarkable. He's shooting better than Derrick Rose. It's depressing.
He's shooting better than most players if he's shooting 45% from three. He's shooting better from three than he is from two.
Well, that needs to change, but
that's obviously unexpected, but
yeah.
No, he's been absolutely awesome this season. Rajon Rondo got a very Rajon Rondo triple-double. He had 12 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, and 7 turnovers. So
it's nice to see him.
And a lot of things to not be thrilled with there.
Yeah, it's nice to see him put up, you know, the stats that you're probably looking for from him with Darren Collison in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And not playing 48 minutes.
It's weird that they did sub him out this game. Yeah, Collison returned. He played 28 minutes off the bench. He had, he's still returning from injury, but he had a solid night. He had 7 points, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a 3-pointer. So you like the 29, mostly you like the 28 minutes. He should be able to be productive in that sort of.
Yeah.
He's another guy just like Mirotić that can do some things in a short amount of time.
Yeah, it's good to see him return. I hope they just start playing him more together, because I think that works. Mm-hmm. They're two different types of guards. But if they want to, it doesn't really matter. As long as Collison's getting good minutes, he's going to give you standard league value.
Yeah. All right, let's switch over to the Rockets and Trailblazers game. That day did go to overtime. The Rockets, of course, fired their coach on Wednesday. And we did not exactly see like the new coach bump. They lost to the, like I said, they lost to the Blazers. Dwight Howard had 7 points. Terrence Jones had 8 points. Jason Terry took over the starting job for Ty Lawson, which was obviously disappointing for my no halftime challenge, but
yep.
Also disappointing for Ty Lawson owners. He only played 20 minutes and had 2 points, one assist, one steal, and nothing else.
I am in a weird place with Ty Lawson. He is like, he's been in a shooting slump for about a year or so, but he obviously should be way better than that. And I was thinking a move to the bench, like have him play 28 minutes, have him be a Darren Collison, have him play a little bit with the first team, have him run the second team.
I was actually thinking the bench spot would be a nice spot.
Yeah.
But it did not work out
well.
That's
disheartening because I was saying a move to the bench is going to help Harden and it's going to help Lawson.
Well, let's see. It did help Harden. He had 45 yes. points on Wednesday night. He went to the line 20 times as well, and he made 19 of those.
Jeez.
He did miss 11 three-pointers, but it didn't matter. He had 11 assists. He had 5 steals, 8 rebounds. Just an awesome night from Harden. So maybe in that respect it helps. But Lawson, you know, go ahead and drop him, I think, at this point if you want to. I don't think there's any reason to.
You can
hold on to him too, I think. I don't think he's a must-drop, but I don't have a problem dropping him.
Yeah, don't feel bad about dropping him. I had him in one of my drop articles, I think the last drop article, as a questionable guy. The Rockets are a mess, and obviously they just fired their coach. I watched a little bit of the third quarter of that game, and the announcers were like visibly, I guess, audibly depressed. During the game, they were like, the crowd is going to sleep. I think the refs are asleep. The Rockets played horrible in this game. The fact that when you pulled that up and they actually went to overtime shocked me. They had a great fourth quarter, as you can see in the box score there at the top. And that's probably all due to Harden just saying, well, I'm going to go get 20 free throws attempted and put this team on my back because something has to happen. The Rockets are a mess. I don't know if I trust. I'm starting not to trust anybody on that team other than James Harden.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad move at all. All right, let's move over to the Nuggets and Spurs. Look at that one quickly here. You want to talk about Will Barton. Give us your Will Barton take.
Yeah, so apparently you're not a huge fan of Will Barton, I hear.
Look, he played 22 minutes tonight. He scored 9 points, had 4 rebounds, 5 assists. I just have a hard time ever rostering anybody who doesn't have a better than 50-50 chance of playing half the game. I know that's 2 50-50s, but, on most nights, look at his last, he's played he's more, but
been playing more lately. And this is in the last week or two, kind of a rare occurrence that he's playing less minutes than Gary Harris. And so I was kind of sneaking in on Will Barton is good, is obviously winning, is going to win that starting role eventually from Gary Harris. But the longer this goes on, the more it becomes just this is the way it is. And we're playing them however we feel. And they're both going to get 27 minutes. And that's not as intriguing, but Will Barton with 32 minutes, 33 minutes, when he can get on a roll, he's had some pretty nice games lately.
Yeah. No, he has. There's no question about it. He's had, you know, the two previous games tonight, he played 37 minutes in each, and he scored in the high teens in both games. That's some nice things for you from the defensive stats. I don't know.
24. He's young enough for me to take a flyer. If he can't win that starting position, I'm going to drop him, but he played the last three games over 30 minutes.
I would be it's a very surprising job from Gary Harris. I think Gary Harris does enough on the defensive end that I can't imagine Will Barton and his defensive prowess would take over for them. Mike Malone, I do feel like is kind of a defensive coach. If he's going to play high 20 minutes off the bench, I'm okay with taking a flyer on him. I do think he can fill up the stat sheet in a way that Gary Harris cannot. It's just, I don't know that he's going to ever be consistent in the role or the playing time for me to want to roster him. I think he's a streamer. That's just what mm-hmm. you pick him up at the end of the week in a head-to-head league if you need something, or, in a roto league if you have an injury or something.
He's a streamer or end-of-the-bench guy or a waiver wire guy who has that potential, to be a flyer that you say, oh, maybe he's going to win a starting role. Maybe he starts playing 34, 35 minutes a game. He gets blocks as a guard. He gets steals, good rebounds.
And that's the intriguing part, right, is that he does kind of fill the stat sheet.
He has the fantasy potential. And for me, that's all it takes for me to say, all right, there's some leagues where taking him as a flyer is doable. I'm going to have him at the end of my bench, or I'm going to start playing him and see what happens. Because if he's able to put up those types of games,
I just feel like he's the opposite of what we talked about with Wiggins. And normally that doesn't matter if a player is better in fantasy than he is in real life. But I think in this particular case, it's a big enough discrepancy that he's not going to be able to get a consistent enough role. And I could be wrong.
There's rare guys like that. Kylo Quinn is everyone's favorite. He does everything and plays 22 minutes and everyone's depressed that he doesn't play more.
Yep, I think Barton may fit into that category eventually, where he's just not good enough a real-life NBA player to get a 30-minute-a-night role or ever even have the potential of that. And so his value is always going to be limited. But I totally don't mind streaming him in if you think that he's going to get some playing time, or even if it's just going to be a high-scoring game, like if they're going up against the Warriors or something, and there's even a potential for a blowout. I think that's a perfect type of a game to put Barton in, because that he's going to get his stats.
I think that's what happened.
That's all the games that have completed. I know there's a couple other games. The Bulls games just started. The Jazz and Toronto game is nearing an end, but we won't take a look at those scores just because the game is still in progress. Fun night in the NBA, though, tonight. A lot of interesting performances, a lot of fun performances. You were saying this is one of your best nights at DFS, weren't you?
Yeah, I try not to play DFS because I'm not good and I lose all the time. And I played a great roster. I'm at the top of the game, or whatever you call it. And it's a double up, so it doesn't really matter what position I'm in. It's completely wasted.
So you came up with an extra 80 cents.
Yeah, great. I'm pissed when I lose, and I'm mad when I win, and I don't know why I play this. It's a really horrible idea.
Yeah.
But I will, because it's fun for 2 hours.
Makes the games more interesting, right?
Certainly does.
All right. Mike, anything else you want to hit on before we sign off tonight?
No, not really. You can check out my stuff.
Put a plug in for where you write and stuff.
Yeah. You can check out my stuff at watchtheboxes.com. You can find me posting some of that stuff on Reddit, on the subreddit, Fantasy Basketball, or Fantasy B-Ball, I think is how it's spelled. And you can follow me on Twitter at watchtheboxes.
Yep. You go check him out, guys. He's awesome. I always try to make a point to read his stuff and steal as many ideas as I can. No, that's not true. But I do like to I do use it for my leagues.
Good. So yeah, go check it out. I'm glad.
Thank you all for listening. Appreciate you listening to us talk about basketball. It's a lot of fun for us. Hopefully it's fun for you. If you do enjoy the show, please go rate and review the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen. That's a huge help to us. And, one of the biggest reasons we got sponsorships for the podcast. The podcast is still going is because of your support in that way. So, if you have the time, please continue to do so, or please do so if you haven't. We'll be back tomorrow night or tomorrow with a Friday edition of the podcast. We'll be looking at rest of season rankings for one of the formats that we support on the site. Until then, hopefully enjoy the basketball in your life. Have a good night. Bye.